"That troll insulted that dwarf," said Strong in the Arm, the dwarf.
"I heard Acting Constable Detritus give an order to Lance Constable Hrolf Pyjama," said Carrot. "What about it?"
"He's a troll."
"Well?"
"He insulted a dwarf."
"Actually, it's a technical military term," said Sergeant Colon.
"That damn troll just happened to save my life today," shouted Cuddy.
"What for?
What for? What for? 'Cause it was my life, that's what for. I happen to be very attached to it."
"I didn't mean... You just shut up, Abba Strong in the Arm. What do you know about anything, you civilian? Why are you so stupid? Ah, I'm too short for this shit."
A shadow loomed in the doorway. Coalface was a basically horizontal shape, a dark mass of fracture lines and sheer surfaces. His eyes gleamed red and suspicious.
"Now you're letting it go," moaned a dwarf.
"This is because we have no reason to keep him locked up," said Carrot. "Whoever killed Mr. Hammerhock was small enough to get through a dwarf's doorway. A troll his size couldn't manage that."
"But everyone knows he's a bad troll," shouted Strong in the Arm.
"I never done nothing," said Coalface.
"You can't turn him loose now, sir," hissed Colon. "They'll set on him."
"I never done nothing."
"Good point, Sergeant. Acting Constable Detritus?"
"Sir."
"Volunteer him."
"I never done nothing."
"You can't do that," shouted the dwarf.
"Ain't gonna be in no watch," growled Coalface.
Carrot leaned towards him. "There's 100 dwarfs over there with great big axes," he whispered. Coalface blinked.
I'll join."
"Swear him in, Acting Constable."
"Permission to enroll another dwarf, sir, to maintain parity."
"Go ahead, Acting Constable Cuddy." Carrot removed his helmet and wiped his forehead. "I think that's about it, then," he said. The crowd stared at him. He smiled brightly. "No one has to stay here unless they want to," he said.
"I never done nothing."
"Yes, but look," said Strong in the Arm. "If he didn't kill old Hammerhock, who did?"
"I never done nothing."
"Our inquiries are proceeding."
"You don't know."
"But I'm finding out."
"Oh, yes, and when, pray, will you know?"
"Tomorrow." The dwarf hesitated.
"All right, then," he said with extreme reluctance. "Tomorrow. But it had better be tomorrow."
"All right," said Carrot. The crowd dispersed, or at least spread out a bit. Trolls, dwarfs, and humans alike, an Ankh-Morpork citizen is never keen on moving on if there's some street theatre left. Acting Constable Detritus, his chest so swollen with pride and pomposity that his knuckles barely touched the ground, reviewed his troops.
"You listen up, you horrible trolls!"
He paused while the next thoughts shuffled into position.
"You listen up, good right now. You in the watch, boy. It's a job with opportunity," said Detritus. "I only been doing it 10 minutes and already I get promoted. Also got education and training for a good job in civilian street. This your club with a nail in it. You will eat it. You will sleep on it. When Detritus say jump, you say, what colour? We gonna do this by the numbers. And I got lots of numbers. I never done nothing."
"You coalface, you smarten up. You got the field marshal's button in your knapsack."
"Never took nothing, neither."
"You get down now and give me 32. No, make it 64.
Sergeant Colon pinched the bridge of his nose. "We're alive," he thought. "A troll insulted a dwarf in front of a lot of other dwarfs. Coalface, Detritus is Mr. Clean by comparison, is free, and now he's a guard. Carrot laid out mayonnaise. Carrot said we'll sort it all out by tomorrow, and it's dark already. But we're alive. Corporal Carrot is a crazy man.
Hark at them dogs. Everyone's on edge in this heat."
Angua listened to the other dogs howling and thought about wolves. She'd run with the pack a few times and knew about wolves. These dogs weren't wolves. Wolves were peaceful creatures on the whole and fairly simple. Come to think of it, the leader of the pack had been rather like Carrot. Carrot fitted into the city in the same way he'd fitted into the high forests. Dogs were brighter than wolves. Wolves didn't need intelligence, they had other things. But dogs... They'd been given intelligence by humans, whether they wanted it or not. They were certainly more vicious than wolves. They'd got that from humans, too. Big Fido was forging his band of strays into what the ignorant thought a wolf pack was, a kind of furry killing machine. She looked around. Big dogs, little dogs, fat dogs, skinny dogs, they were all watching bright-eyed as the poodle talked. About destiny. About discipline. About the natural superiority of the canine race. About wolves. Only Big Fido's vision of wolves weren't wolves as Angua knew them. They were bigger, fiercer, wiser. The wolves of Big Fido's dream. They were kings of the forest, terrors of the night. They had names like Quickfang and Silverback. They were what every dog should aspire to. Big Fido had approved of Angua. She looked very much like a wolf, he said. They all listened, totally entranced, to a small dog who farted nervously while he talked and told them that the natural shape for a dog was a whole lot bigger. Angua would have laughed were it not for the fact that she doubted very much if she'd get out of there alive. And then she watched what happened to a small rat-like mongrel which was dragged into the centre of the circle by a couple of terriers and accused of fetching a stick. Not even wolves did that to other wolves. There was no code of wolf behaviour. There didn't need to be. Wolves didn't need rules about being wolves. When the execution was over, she found Gaspard sitting in a corner and trying to be unobtrusive.
"Will they chase us if we sneak off now?" she said.
"Don't think so. Meeting's over, see?"
"Come on, then."
They sauntered into an alley, and when they were sure they hadn't been noticed, ran like hell.
"Good grief!" said Angua when they'd put several streets between them and the crowd of dogs. "He's mad, isn't he?"
"No, mad's when you froth at the mouth," said Gaspard. "He's insane. That's when you froth at the brain."
"All that stuff about wolves. I suppose a dog's got a right to dream," said Gaspard. "But wolves aren't like that. They don't even have names."
"Everyone's got a name."
"Wolves haven't. Why should they? They know who they are, and they know who the rest of the pack are. It's all an image, smell and feel and shape. Wolves don't even have a word for wolves." It's not like that. Names are human things.
Dogs have got names. I've got a name. Gaspard. My name, said Gaspard, a shade sullenly.
Well, I can't explain why, said Angua, but wolves don't have names.
End of CD 7.